Blessing. The very first psalm in the book of Bible is what I want to use this morning. Psalm 1, beginning with verse number 1. If you want to stand for reading of God's Word, we'll read you some words here from the Lord's book. Psalm 1, beginning with verse 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which is the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. We ask this morning, God, you open up our understanding, that we might understand better the ways of your way, because we know your way is right. Bless each person that's here this morning in the glorious and the blessed and the holy name of Jesus. And the church says, we're supposed to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water or spirit, which beareth fruit and whose leaves never wither. Jesus' atonement and gifts made this possible. I'll give you a little humor before I get started. There's a little boy, and he wanted to go over in his neighbor's yard and climb a tree. But he was terrified by their bulldog. But one day the bulldog was absent, so he jumped the fence, only to see the dog running toward him. He began to scream as the dog began to lick him on his face. His mom came running. "Did he bite you, Billy?" "No, Mom," whimped the little boy. "He is just tasting me." In Psalm chapter 1, there's two ways. There's a righteous way and there's a wicked way. And there's two outcomes are considered here. The biggest reason for their difference is their attitude toward God's word. This psalm is divided into three parts. What number one is, what the righteous do. And number two is, we're supposed to be like a tree. And number three is the outcome of each way of life. As I said, the title of this message is the Psalm 1 blessing, Psalm 1 and the blessing of it. What the righteous person does, we're going to talk about that in verse 1 and 2, and then what the righteous do not do. Verse 1 portrays a progression into sin, but also the verb indicates three positions of the drifting into a company of wicked: walk, stand, or sit. If we're walking, we're still mobile, we're still moving. If we stand, we become stationary. And then when we sit, we become settled. Now, I want to ask you, which one are you? Are you walking forward? Or are you standing? Or are you just sitting and waiting because you're so settled, you're just waiting till Jesus comes? Little by little, we can lose our concentration and connection to God and drift into the world's mindset, or slowly begin to adapt its ways. And this is a thing that I hope and pray is not taking place, but a lot of people are afraid to come to church. And it seems that they are getting colder and colder and colder in the Lord. So little by little, we can lose our connection with God. In the counsel of the wicked, words means the viewpoint or the way of thinking. You see, the Christian adopts a Bible worldview and rejects the culture of the wicked. So the Hebrew word, which means to lose or be unstable, and lose is the morals that we can lose from God. Without Him, we have no anchor nor control in our own self. We need to understand how good God is to us, folks. We don't need to lose our hope. We don't need to lose our ability, but we need to press on. There's mockers that refuse those who actively put down things of God's word. Mockers that laugh and carry on about the word of God. Mockers not only do so by their words, but they also do this by mocking through their morals and the absolute of the scriptures and its roadmap of life. People put down the word of God and they begin to mock. Where is His coming? We've heard that the Messiah is coming. Where is He at? You all been saying He's coming. Where is He at? Is He coming or is He not? You can grant it, He's coming. The scripture shows that people don't remain positive about God. If they choose to compromise when they really need to defend their choice, we don't need to compromise about anything. They have contradicted righteousness and they become mockers. We have people that want to mock the churches and mock the way that we're living. Well, I got news for them. I'd rather live like I'm living, knowing without a shadow of doubt I'm on my way to heaven. And I can put up with a little criticism because that's okay. The devil is criticized ever since he got kicked out of heaven. He's been mad ever since. He's been a big puffed up bullfrog looking thing. I guess he looked like a bullfrog. He looked like something horrible, no doubt. But the thing about it is he's been puffed up ever since. So I got news for him. He is not going to stop me. He's not going to stop you from working for the Lord. So he just might as well to get out of our face. Many in the church today has become brainwashed by the information media. Polls show that little difference between the church and the unchurched. Well, I want to tell you, there's a lot of difference in my opinion. What do you think? Many who call themselves Christians are materialistic, immoral, and they have earthly ethics and all of this. They just seem like they're drifting farther and farther away from the truth and the way that the Spirit of God is wanting to lead. Martin Luther said one time, he said that the devil's strategy is not to martyr or to kill the saints, but to get them to fall asleep. And I believe that because if he can lullaby us to sleep, he's already got us whipped anyway. We don't have time to sleep and all of this because we need to be revived and through the Word of God and the revelation of the Word of God and apply it to our life more today than we ever have in our entire life. Well, yeah, I know we can talk about rough times, bad times and all of this, but we need to talk about good times and the good things that Jesus is doing, and He's still doing them and He's doing them for His children. He hasn't forgot about us. I don't see a person here that's starving to death today. If you are, hey, come on over. I'll tell you what, we'll fix you up with some kind of food anyway. It may not be what you like, but we're not going to starve to death because God is going to take care of His people. Can you say amen to that? So see, if the devil can get you, he don't want to kill you. He just wants to torment you. He don't want to kill you because he don't have the authority to, and he can't do it because God won't allow him. But if he could, he still wouldn't kill you. You know what he wants to do? He just wants to make you miserable. He wants to stir you up and make you so miserable that you can't stand yourself and nobody else around you. Well, I got news for him, folks. God's people are happy, prosperous people. Can anybody say amen? I want to tell you, hey, you'll never prosper without God. Oh, it may look like everything is going rosy and everything's going good, but sooner or later, you're going to hit a snag, and the devil's going to show you exactly what he led you into, and it's a trap, so don't fall for his traps. So what do righteous really do? David said in Psalm 37 and 4, he said, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, delight means to feel the highest pleasure in it. Delight your heart. More pleasure than you've ever found in serving God, and enjoy the blessings of God. You know, sometimes I wonder and I think and I look around at Christians and they're so sad looking. They look like they have lemon and sucked only a little while and it got all puckered up and they're in all of this. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. God's people should be the happiest people in the world. We have more to be happy about. We're the light of the world. We're the city that's set on a hill, cannot be hid. How in the world? This is why the devil wants us to wear these things here. So people can't see our joy, see our smile. But I tell you one thing, it can't blindfold us because we got to see where we're going. And there's a message with people's eyes in all of this. So you don't have to see whether their mouth is working, they're saying hello or I hate you or whatever. Hey, but you can tell by their eyes whether they're accepting what you're saying or doing just by looking at their eyes. It's amazing to that you bump into people and you can't see their face, you can't see their mouth, but you know it's them. Why? Because they may have their mouth covered, but we can still talk through these things if we need to and must, but we can still move on for the Lord. Can anybody just say amen to that? The written word is God's love, and it's his love letter to us. And we have a love affair with God through his word. His word is so important. Read the love letter of his or her sweetheart. So when we're reading the word of God and studying the word of God, we can do the same. We can delight in the word of God. Isn't it wonderful? So if we lose our delight in the Lord and in his word, then our heart can find another obstacle to worship or delight in. We don't need to delight in the world, folks. The world is nothing but chaos and trouble. It's a place that we've been working for many years now, or I can refer to myself, to get out of this old world and find a better place. I enjoy living in this world, sure. I enjoy the blessings of God. I enjoy seeing people prosper and being in health. I love to see wonderful things happen. But our main goal and our final place that we're looking for is a better place than this old world. So the godly believe, reading and memorizing the scriptures daily, this is something very important. And I know they talk about God's word and it's not very popular and all of this, and you don't need to read the word of God. You got a preacher to read you some word of God. Well, we're a little here and there or whatever. You don't need to read the word of God. Why in the world do you want to read and study the word of God and waste your time reading the Bible? Well, why would you? Why not? I'm getting tired of that mic cutting on and off. It's bothering me, so I'll just get another one. If this one does that, we'll get another one. We still got some more. Power of the Word. You know, it didn't take a whole lot of the Word of God to really be amazing. There was a Vince, is his first name. I can't even pronounce his last probably, but properly. But anyway, in Chile, and he found a few pages washed on the beach after a tidal wave, and he read them, and he wouldn't rest till he got the complete Bible.
He became a Christian and devoted himself and distributed scriptures in the northern part of Chile. There was something that happened. He found a few pages of the Bible and he got interested. I want to tell you, the more you read the Bible, the more you become interested. The more you study the Word of God, the more you want to study. The more you find out that you didn't know, that you found out you did know through the Word of God, that's the more you should want to gain more. And then number two is, we're supposed to be like a tree. Now I want to tell you, there's a lot of different kinds of trees. But the kind of tree we're talking about, it talks about in verse number three, the secret of godly life. That a person is like a tree planted by a river or a stream of water, which bringeth forth the fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither. Whatsoever they do prospers. Planted by streams of water. I want to tell you something, folks. We went through a very drought time back in the summer, and it seemed like everything was drying up. Our lawns were turning brown and all of this, and wondering if it was going to make it or not. Our gardens was hurting real bad for water, and it seemed like the trees was even losing their leaves when they should have been having nice firm leaves. But the thing about it is, it was because they needed water. We need water. Without water, we'd die. Without water, we'd be in big trouble. Can you say amen? So we need to be a seed that is a good seed. We need to be planted by the river of water. And God wants us to be where we can drink of the Spirit. The more we drink of the Spirit, the more we want to drink. Such a person is very sturdy. If we can stay humble, if we can stay and compare ourselves as being a strong person by the living water. So there's a time of drought which might kill others, but then it doesn't affect the one so much that's clinging to God and His Word. Excuse me, I like this little illustration. There was a farmer invited his pastor over to his farm. He was proudly displaying his fields. He had fields covered with corn and wheat, and he had orchards and all of this. And the farmer said, "I'm proud for how all this that my hands has worked, and now it's paying off." The pastor said, "Now remember, brother, that the Lord is the one who caused all of these blessings in your life. Be sure and give Him the credit." The old farmer was very wise, but he said, "Follow me, Pastor." So he walked over to the nearby fence, and he pointed over to the next door, and it was growing with cactus, waist-deep weeds, and shrub bushes. And he said, "That's what it looks like when the Lord has it." Now, don't throw rocks just yet. Hang on. This is what he said. When the Lord has it, this is what it looks like. Well, my point is this. God does His part in providing us sun, rain, sunshine and rain and good earth, and even seed. But God expects us to do our part in planting, cultivating, and weeding in our spiritual life. God has provided all of this. Isn't it amazing how we have some people that plant gardens? And I just want to get on my own case a minute. We have people that plant gardens. God gives them the land. God gives them the seed and the way to cultivate it and all this and put the seed out. But many, many times I've seen people plant the seed and they never go back. They never cultivate. They never get the weeding hoe out and chop the weeds out. And then they wonder why, when it comes harvest time, that they have to wade through the weeds, knee-deep, trying to find something that should have been just able to walk out and pick it up. Well, I want to tell you, if God has given you all of this stuff and you don't take care of it, well, you shouldn't have much harvest, in my opinion, right? You see, God has given us jobs, and God has helped us, and God has made a way that we could have finances to buy food and different stuff that we don't grow or whatever. He's always been good to us. But if we squander it away and we rob God and we don't give God our part, how in the world do we expect God to bless us? We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, folks. We need to protect and take care of what we have. You say, well, God didn't work for it. It's like looking over in that field. That was God's field, the old farmer said. But the farmer was making an example because that field had nobody to work that land. Had nobody to cultivate, nobody to cut the weeds, nobody to till it, nobody to do nothing over there. But God provided it, and the farmer was truly right. But there wasn't anybody to take care of it because nobody chose to do the work. I'm telling you, if there wasn't some working people in America, we'd be starving right now. Can you say amen? It takes people. It's not afraid of work. If everybody was on the happy pappy gang, as they used to call it, and nobody to work, we'd be in trouble. I know disability people and all this. Thank God that they take care of them and all of this, and elderly people and so forth. And I thank God for it. Don't get me wrong what I'm saying, but these big able-bodied people is too lazy and sorry to get up of a morning. I fear for them because I want to tell you something, folks. If you're able to work, work. And if you're not able to work, that is a different story. Can you say amen? My dad taught me one time, I just started out working. I said, Dad, I don't want to go in to work. I'm tired. He said, let me tell you something, son. There's going to be many a day in your life you're going to raise up and you want to jump right back in that bed. But you know because of the responsibility that you have and for your family and all this, you're going to have to get up. You're going to have to go in to work. When you don't want to, you still got to go in anyway. So many times over the years, I've found out that there's times I felt like just jumping back into bed, covering up my head, and just forgetting about it all for a while. But I knew I couldn't. Why? Because I had a responsibility. I had married a sweetheart. I'd married somebody, and I was supposed to take care of her. And then we had children, and we had to take care of them. And if you didn't work, you didn't eat. You didn't work, you didn't have clothes. You didn't work, you couldn't take care of your family. So I want to tell you something, folks. We need to understand. We need to work. Everybody can't do the same thing. Everybody can't do my job. I can't do your job. You know a lot of things to do that I can't do. But I want to tell you something now. We all should be workers together, working for the glory of God and the kingdom of God, because God is the one that takes care of us. Can you say amen? Because we abide in Christ. That's the most important thing. So we bring forth fruit. And thank God that the kind of tree that we can picture here, it's not a pine tree or it's not an oak tree, but it's an evergreen tree full of bearing, fruit from that tree. Why? Because it's planted to where it'll grow and multiply. I worked at a nursery once in my younger days at Hill and Myers Nursery, and I loved that little job down there. It didn't pay much. But it paid enough that I got married and fed my wife and all this, and we paid rent and so forth for a while in Lexington. It paid $39.03 a week, and they paid you in cash. On Fridays, they'd gather you up, and they'd stand out on a little platform there in front of the office, and they'd call your name, and when you held up your hand, they didn't hand you money, they throwed it out to you. Had it in a little pack, a little slip sealed up, and they'd throw it out to you. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange, but that's still all right. But hey, I wasn't afraid to get out there and dig trees and work and all of this, and I enjoyed it. I learned a lot about trees from that little nursery job. I learned how to do different things, graft one kind of tree into another, and then so forth. Because, hey, and then that helps me in my sermons and things realize what grafting really is. We're grafted into the family of God. We were Gentiles. We had no right to be grafted in. But when Jesus came and he made it all possible, and then now we're grafted in to the family of God. Now we're chosen just like anybody else, and we have a right. So I want to tell you something, folks. It's great and it's wonderful. I got one little tree out there. I've got six different types of fruit that one of these days it'll bear if everything does well, that I've grafted into different trees, into this one tree. And I'm looking forward to see this happen if I live long enough. If I don't, hey, somebody else can enjoy it. But I'm going to tell you, folks, God expects us to work and do our share. Can you say amen? Fruit is a proof of the nature. I'm telling you, God is the one that helps us. Let me go with the last point here real hurriedly. Outcome of the two ways in verse 4 through 6. Not so with the wicked, for they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Notice this, God watches over the way of us, the righteous, does he not? But the way of the wicked leads to destruction. People kill themselves, destroy themselves a lot of times, thinking that they're doing the right thing, but they're going the wrong direction. I'm telling you, folks, Sister Gordon and I was coming home yesterday. We were coming from Richmond, and this little girl, I don't know who she was, but anyway, we come around a curve, and there she was. She slid off the road, and I mean, her car was just ready, looked like to flip on over. And I said, oh, my goodness, somebody's in there. And so I go up, and the windows is tinted. I just want to tell you something. I hate real dark tinted windows. That's me. You dark them all you want to. It's your business. But I couldn't see in that window, and I knew it was running, and I know there's somebody in it because the way it was upon its side, she couldn't have got out, or he, whoever it was. So finally, I pecked on the window, and it rolled its window down so scared. It was a little girl, little skinny girl. She wasn't big as nothing hardly, and she had slid off of the road. And the car was laying there, and she had her feet on the brake because she was afraid to let off the brake, afraid it would go on over that hill or turn over. And so I finally got her calmed down and all of this a little bit and offered to help her and offered to get her out of the car and all this. She said, I'm afraid to let go of the brake. I called my mom and dad. They'll be here shortly. I said, okay. But I said, we're not leaving until they come. And we stayed right there with her, and she wasn't hurt. The car wasn't tore up or anything like that. It just slid off the road. There was a tree about this close that she almost hit a straight head on. But thank God that she was all right. And then I really admired when the dad come, what he said. Most dads and a lot of dads, you tore my car up, or you could have killed somebody. You could have done this. You could have done that. First thing he did, said, honey, just calm down. You're all right. Car's not hurt. So just calm down. We'll get it out. And I thought, that's like our Heavenly Father. We may slide out of the road or get in a ditch, but he'll come along and say, hey, just calm down. We'll get you out. We'll take care of you. And I offered to call somebody or whatever. He said, no, I got a dually truck, four-wheel drive. Said, all I have to do is just hook to it and pull it right out, and everything will be all right. I said, I don't mind helping. I'll stay here with you or whatever. No, that's fine. Thank you for checking on my daughter. Thank you for staying with her till I come. I want to tell you something, folks. It was so pitiful looking. He was so scared. And his dad really made a real good example of a true loving dad. He didn't fuss on her. You tore my car up. You blah, 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 blah. You was driving too fast. He never one time ever said, honey, you was driving too fast. That road was wet. And it was slick. I know it was. But hey, she was safe. Car was safe. And everything was all right. And the dad was so pleased to see his daughter was okay. I want to tell you, God looks down at us. And he's pleased to see that we're okay today because we're serving him. Oh, we've gone through trials and all this junk, but he's still looking down, and he's still thankful that we're okay. Oh, we may get battered, we may get bruised, we may get laughed at or whatever, but hey, I'm telling you, We're still okay, aren't we? We're still okay. Come to the music, please, if you would. I had some more things to say, but I'm going to cut it off because I want to tell you something, folks. This is a starting. This is a starting a book of Psalms, Psalm 1. 150 Psalms in the Bible. And I tell you what, they're all powerful and they're all encouraging and they all should help us that we can understand that God loves the righteous and he'll take care of us. He's pleased to take care of us. So never doubt, never fear that God don't love you. He still loves you. Excuse me, he's going to take care of us. So he loves us today like we love our children. And if we love our children, I'm telling you, it's amazing and it's wonderful. So just keep loving your children. Don't hate them. Oh, they do things you displeased of, but don't hate them. Just love them right on. And God's going to take care of them if we pray and believe. Let's stand, would you please? If you need help today, if you felt like you've been so lonely and sad and felt like the world is against you, well, the world is against you. We got news. We do know that. But we also know that God is for us, and God is not going to let us down. And he's going to help us, and he's going to take care of us. We're going to be all right, folks. Why? Because he's watching over us. He's taking care of us. He's got guardian angels watching over us and protecting us and shielding us. And I really believe a guardian angel is watching over that little girl, or she could have turned on over that hill very easily. But God seemed fit to get her out, and she's all right. So God's going to get us out of the problems that the devil is setting, these traps and all of this. He's going to get us out, but we just need to continue working for him and serving him. As they play and sing, the altar's open. If you feel like you need to pray this morning, this would be the best morning of your life just to come. Hey, nobody's going to get real close to you. And if I come to pray for you, I'll have a mask on. But I'm telling you something. Hey, if you need to pray, right here's the altar. Or if you just want to kneel at your seat, but let's pray this morning. Let's just thank God for watching over and protecting us. He is good. He's loving. And he is wonderful. Hallelujah. As they play and sing, let's pray.